Jesus had been on his way to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and on his way he detoured to the city of Jericho. Three men were pointed out in Scripture on this section of his journey, and each would respond to Jesus in a different way. Let's look at each of them in their situation and the outcome of their meeting Jesus. In Luke 18, a certain young ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." And when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Why did we look first at this man? He had asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And upon hearing the answer, he turned and walked away from Jesus. He was not willing to commit to the sacrifices he was being called to make, even for the promise of eternal life. Eternal life is life unending. It will never cease to be. It is something that is on the mind of every person at some time or another, and it doesn't matter which part of the world you are from or the language you speak. It doesn't matter which God you believe in. There is within every soul the question of eternal life. We were created to commune with the one true living God, and our souls know this to be true. But the darkness within each of us encourages us to live in opposition to him, and in darkness rather than in the light. From Luke 18 again, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by," and he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who had led the way rebuked him, and they told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Here was a man who was physically blind, who had heard of Jesus, and when it was told him that Jesus was near, he cried out to him. But there were others there that did not want the man to get close to Jesus. They told him to be quiet, to shut up, and keep to himself. But he wanted to get close to Jesus, to speak to him, to ask for his help, and so he called out to the Lord again. There are those around us who, when they hear we have started attending church or are seeking the Lord, they will try to distract us and keep us from filling the hole in our hearts. They do not understand the longing that has been put there, and that there is only one way to quiet the cries that rise up from within. Here, by the roadside, was the type of man that Jesus came to save. He was lost in total darkness, and he wanted to see. This man set an example for us. Our faith will give us strength. Boldness will be answered. And by believing, we too can have our eyes opened as this man did. Yes, he was physically blind, but his faith is how he received his sight, believing that Jesus could help him. He sought the Lord, and the Lord answered him. Back to Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. And so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so he came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Zacchaeus was spiritually blind. He lived for himself, satisfying his sinful nature at the expense of others. Jesus gave him a new heart and healed his spirit after Zacchaeus confessed his sin to him, and then promised to repent of it, to repay those he had stolen from, and to give away, to share his wealth with the poor. After meeting and talking with Jesus, Zacchaeus was now a different man, and he started right away to change his ways, the way that he thought, that he spoke, and the way that he acted. Salvation had come, and Jesus had invited Zacchaeus into the family of God. Zacchaeus came immediately to Jesus. He did not hesitate or needed a day or two to think about it. Jesus had called him by name, even knowing what kind of man he was, and he entered into Zacchaeus' house. He supped with him. They talked, and when Jesus left, the man who was no more, and in his place stood someone who would never be the same after having met the Savior, his Savior. For he had been one of many that the Bible calls lost, and now he was found, and had committed to walk a life worthy of the gift set upon him, salvation. And he would live now not to pleasure himself, but God. Matthew Henry says of these verses, "Those who sincerely desire a sight of Christ, like Zacchaeus, will break through opposition and take pains to see him." Christ invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. And wherever Christ comes, he opens the heart, inclines it to receive him. He that has a mind to know Christ shall be known of him. And those whom Christ calls must humble themselves and come down. We may well receive him joyfully, who brings all good with him. Zacchaeus gave proofs publicly that he was become a true convert. He does not look to be justified by his works as the Pharisee, but by his good works he will, through the grace of God, show the sincerity of his faith and repentance. Zacchaeus is declared to be a happy man. Now he is turned from sin to God. Now that he is saved from his sins, from the guilt of them, from the power of them, all the benefits of salvation are his. Christ has come to his house, and where Christ comes, he brings salvation with him. He came into this lost world to seek and to save it. His design was to save when there was no salvation in any other. He seeks those that sought him and asked not of him, for him. So who will come when called and welcome the Savior in? Who will know the joy of salvation, will have peace and know rest in their hearts, and who is it that has eternal life? Well, Jesus would say in John 11:26, "Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And then he raises the question, "Do you believe?" So, to you the question must be raised, what do you believe? Have you heard Jesus calling your name and have yet to answer him? Many are taught that we are all children of God, but the truth is that we are all made in the image of God. He made us to know him, to love him, to resemble his righteousness. But sin was chosen over God, not intentionally, yet it was chosen when doubt was raised over what God had said. Where there had been truth, now seeds of doubt began to sprout, and we were separated from God by a simple question being asked, and by our being unable to answer it in truth when asked, "Did God really say?" We could not remember his words and had not taken to heart all that he had given us in his wisdom and by his direction. Don't let what you desire in this world keep you from a relationship with Jesus. Don't let others discourage you from coming to him. And don't be afraid to confess to him and turn from your wicked ways and walk in the light of righteousness, having been reconciled in relationship with the Lord our God, because you must be born again to enter heaven's gates and escape the fires of hell. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, and God does not give it as an option, but he says, must be. Heavenly Father, there are many obstacles out there, stumbling blocks, roadblocks, and people that will mock us for loving you and believing in you. For them we pray that in their foolish rebellion, as they take your name in vain, they steal, commit adultery and murder, as they do all of those things we are commanded not to do, we pray, Lord, that they would too step out into the light and taste and know the sweetness of life in Christ Jesus. Lord, for those who are blind, may the scales fall from their eyes and healing come to them today. May they seek your face, walk on the path you have laid out before them, and as they turn from their wicked ways to you, may your blessings keep them faithful, trustworthy, and strong. And may the boldness of the truth keep each of us upright and walking in your light all the days of our lives. Amen.